Thank you all for this opportunity to talk to you tonight, and I especially want to thank the elders for this opportunity. Tonight I'm going to talk about teaching. It might seem obvious why this lesson is needed, but let's think about the reasons. The first one is that this lesson is for teachers. I'm up here this very moment teaching all of you, or trying to, my best. This morning there were many teachers in this building. And every single week, we all teach many people, either like verbally in studies or by our words, by our deeds. And if in God we truly are light and shining in this dark world, because of what he's made in us, like we are teaching about him. This lesson is also for those who listen to teachers. One of the things that we're going to talk about in a little bit is the aim of teaching. If we can understand what this aim is, we can help the teachers to accomplish this aim by working on it after we've heard what they've said, what they've had to say. So when we walk away from every study, every sermon, we can work hard on becoming these things in these specific ways. Now, to do this study would take a very long time. I'm not going to be able to look at everything there is to talk about with teaching. In fact, there's like so many passages I began to think about. But I'm just going to look at one passage today, and please bear with me as I won't be able to point out everything there. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. I chose this text for a few different reasons. One of them is that Timothy was a young man, as far as I could figure out. He was also a teacher. So this letter that Paul wrote to him was primarily about teaching. And the other reason I chose this book was that he plainly says what the aim of teaching is, so we can see it and think about it from that perspective. To get started, let's read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculation, rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love, that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. In this text, we learn that Paul left Timothy in Ephesus. Did you see why he was left there? It says there in verse 3 that he was to remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. So in Ephesus, the main problem was false teachers, was teachers that weren't teaching right things. Could this be true here as well? Could any of us be teaching wrong things that could mislead people? I think this is definitely a possibility for any one of us. So I think this lesson is really important for that idea. Now, Paul said that there was a problem in Ephesus with the teachers. Outside of this letter, we can see this as well in quite a few different places. One of them is in Acts chapter 20. You don't have to turn there, but during one of Paul's journeys on his way back, he came near Ephesus and he spoke to the elders and he said the following: "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." So there he said to these elders that there was going to be fierce wolves that would come within them and not spare the flock, that they would speak twisted things and draw away the disciples. But did you catch like where these false teachers were coming from, where these fierce wolves were coming from? There in verse 30 of chapter 20 it says, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things. So it's from these elders themselves in Ephesus that would be speaking these things to mislead them. This is really important because even on this level, the people that we trust the most can mislead us, and we need to be really careful for that as well. Now back in 1 Timothy, what I want to do in this lesson is just walk through the text that I just read and pull out some of the things that I noticed about good teaching. So there in verse 3, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. By saying any different doctrine, Paul is describing this based on one true doctrine. There's this one that all the others are based on. He doesn't talk about it here, but later on in chapter 6, verse 3, he says the following. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. From there we learn that true doctrine comes from Jesus' words. When we are good teachers, we speak what Jesus spoke. His words are in this Bible. We can look for them here. His prophets and his apostles came and spoke in his words. So when we teach things, we need to keep pointing back to Jesus as the one to be trusted in. As listeners, we can make sure that what we learn and trust in is from this book, that it is coming from Jesus directly. The next thing there in 1 Timothy 1 that I want to pull out is in verse 4. He wasn't just to charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, but he was also not to charge them not to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculation rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. From what I can tell, no one really knows what these myths and endless genealogies are. Not specifically, anyways. What we can learn, though, is what they produce. There in verse 4, it says that they promote speculation. This speculation is the idea of questioning or arguments. So it's really trying to draw people away from what this true idea is. And the other thing is that they don't produce the stewardship of God. Now, the stewardship of God is a very interesting idea. It's really fascinating. It's this idea that of God's care over our household. So part of this is his work in the house, or his position in the house. He is working in us who are his house. He's renovating us. He is changing us. He is our Lord. God is the one we submit to and the one who rules over us. So good teachers helped make sure that these ideas about God continue to grow and continue to exist in their listeners. The next thing I want to point out is in verse 5. The aim of our charge is love. Just want to stop there and make this point that good teachers have an aim in their teaching. It's not just pointless, it's not just a bunch of talking, but they have an idea behind what they're saying, that and what they teach is pointed towards that idea. This aim specifically in verse 5 is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. As good teachers, we should have this same aim in our teaching. There's so much to talk about with these four ideas, love, conscience, heart, and faith. So I'm not going to be able to talk about it today, but if you go out and research it a bit more, it's actually a very worthwhile study. But there are two things that I do want to point out about this passage in verse 5. The aim itself is love.
There it is.
When we listen to a teacher, we should be able to go out and love God more. We should be able to go out and love people more. And we should be able to want to do this as well and be striving for it. The other thing is that this love is coming from three places. When we've listened to a teacher, these three places should be growing in those ways that it mentioned. Our faith should be more sincere, our heart should be purer, and our conscience should be better. To sum up these three ideas, the heart, faith, and conscience, I was thinking about them as the way we reason from or consider from, our thoughts and like our convictions. And their purity or their genuineness is seen by how adequately they work with what we say and do. For example, we should be patient people. If we believe this and are convicted about it, it'll be able to be seen in the things we say and do. And this is connected to love because God wants us as his people to love with this idea of patience. The next thing I want to point out is there in verse 6. It says, certain persons, by swerving from these things, have wandered away into vain discussion. Good teachers don't swerve from this aim, from these things. They themselves persevere in them. They keep seeking out love. They keep seeking out this kind of heart, faith, and conscience. And also, good teachers continue to teach with this aim. They don't just give up on it when it hasn't worked for a little while. They keep trying to motivate others to love and teaching about love from these places. The last thing I want to point out is in verse 7, but picking up from verse 6, it says, certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Good teachers don't desire to be teachers until they've understood what they say and assert. It's so exciting what we have here in the Word, this knowledge and this wisdom that God's given us, but we can't get those two things out of order, understanding and speaking. We should first understand what it says and think through it and consider it, and then we should speak about it. In fact, we'll be convicted and excited to speak about it if that's the case. To finish up this lesson, I just want to talk about Paul for a little bit. There in verse 12 through 17, Paul talks about himself and when he was a bad teacher, as well as when he became a good teacher. Saul persecuted Christians and sought to destroy them, but Jesus was patient with Paul, and he helped him to learn the truth. Paul came to believe this truth, and he became a good teacher. Paul said this in verse 15. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Jesus came to save people. And Paul is an example of who he can save. There is true life in Jesus, and this is for all of us, including those like Paul who persecuted and sought to destroy Christianity. We need to keep growing and loving God and continuing to grow in those ways of having a sincere faith, a good conscience, and a pure heart. If you've not yet declared Jesus as your Lord and sought him for life, I urge you to do that today. Please come forward as we stand and sing.